you, and welcome back to the latest episode of Shocked Talk, the after podcast party you didn't know you didn't need. I'm Sean.
I'm Maddie.
And we're here to talk about our favorite movie from 1997. What do you think it is, Maddie?
Well, I don't know, Sean. Why don't you tell me?
Well, you've got the paper there right in front of you.
You didn't tell me that this was going to be a question and answer session.
I know.
We're talking about Fifth Element, people.
That's right. The Fifth Element, which, as we all know, is heart.
Love.
Yep.
Soul.
Because I watched Captain Planet just like you did, huh?
No, I didn't watch Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna turn the world in from zero.
No, zero to hero is Hercules.
Okay.
Which is different from Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
So, this particular month, our friends at Shocked and Applaud, they reviewed The Fifth Element. They did a pretty good job about it, but we're just going to go over some facts like we always do here on Shock Talk. For first of all, they talked a lot about it being 1997. What were we doing then, Maddie?
Well, we were dating. You had graduated high school.
Yes, I had. I think I was in community college, the same community college you used to work at.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. I think I hung out at school, even though I was out of high school. I hung out with the theater teacher, and I directed children's theater, I think, that year.
Yes. You want to know what I remember about children's theater that year? I remember being the chubby girl and having to step over somebody, but you couldn't step over them. I had to step on them. And so it was learning how to fake step on someone so that it looks like you're stepping on them and crushing them, but you're really just kind of hopping over them, but you do have to put your foot on them. And as a chubby girl, that like you, like when somebody makes a noise, like you're crushing them. And even though you're not, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah, I have no, I never had a fear of crushing anybody.
Yeah.
So you were still, what year were you in high school?
Junior.
Class of 98, right?
Yes.
All right. I have a note here says that you were in a show that year. What were you in?
Yes, I was Hot Lips in the showing that we did of MASH. Yes.
Did you like that? Was that, I was not a fan of that play. I'm sorry. I thought you were great in it, but I don't know. Maybe I just don't care much about doctors in Korea.
Well, that's because you're a bad person. I enjoyed it. We played a lot of pranks on each other.
We did that all the time when we were in theater.
Yeah, but I was not typically on stage. I did, backstage stuff. Yeah. So it was different being on stage and having a prank pulled during a show. I mean, it was fun, but yeah.
Other 1997 fun facts, the 60s TV show Lost in Space was to have taken place in 1997. Toy manufacturer Mattel sued MCA Records over the Aqua's hit Barbie
Girl. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, life in plastic, it's fantastic, you can brush my hair.
After the lawsuit, it was dismissed due to parody protection under the First Amendment. The judge actually went on the record saying the parties are advised to chill.
Just chill out, dude.
Yeah.
Just chill.
I kind of like this one. 14-year-old Nathan Zoner was able to get 43 out of 50 of his classmates to vote to ban dihydrogen monoxide for his science fair project. He was there to prove that the use of true facts can lead ignorant public to false conclusions. Wow, that's kind of relevant now today, isn't it?
What?
Dihydrogen monoxide, for those of you who don't know, is ordinary tap water.
I would not have known that.
Mm-hmm. H2 dihydrogen monoxide, H2O.
I just want to say that H2O does not make sense as coming out of dihydrogen monoxide.
All right.
There's not two H's in any of those words. And that has been your science lesson for this week.
Thank you for attending Mansplaining 101. We will now resume to our normal program already in session. Titanic won 11 Oscars. 11 Oscars. But the biggest news of 1997, that was the year Princess Diana died. Do you remember what you were doing when Princess Diana died?
Not specifically. I mean, sorry, but in America, like, her death, it wasn't like when, you know, JFK died.
Who are you apologizing to? All the Brits that listen to this? Because we're big in England. You
know? No, I'm just saying that, like, like, because there's some people, like, I mean, when the princes got married, I know people over here had parties, and there are lots of people in America that are impressed by the royalty. That came out wrong.
I can tell you exactly where I was when I found out, and that's because I was at a Jane's Addiction concert at the former Key Arena, and I was told by my boss, because I was working that concert. He went around and told everybody that she'd passed away, so we were supposed to be careful for grieving people in the audience. Yep. Okay, so I have some other facts about Japanese children getting epileptic seizures from an episode of Pokemon. John Denver, Notorious B.I.G., and Michael Hutchence of INXS all passed away. The biggest movies of this year competing against The Fifth Element were Titanic, Men in Black, Starship Troopers, Jurassic Park 2, Face Off, and Air Force One.
Liar, liar, you forgot that one.
I did. The top music of the year was Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton.
Unbreak my heart, say you love me again.
Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
I can't think of that one. All I can think of is
Zig Ah.
Oh, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends.
Yeah, yeah, if you want to be my, see, want to be, Notorious B.I.G. for Hypnotize. Well, like, Biggie, 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 can't you see?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then Mmbop by Hanson.
Mmbop, ba doo ba doo ba doo ba doo ba ba doo ba doo ba ba doo. Yeah, yeah.
Mmbop, Princess Diana. The number one song of the year was Elton John, Candle in the Wind 97.
Because he changed some of the lyrics about, to be specifically about Princess Diana, because he had a personal relationship with her and was very traumatized by her passing.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was first published in the UK. And let's see, Ellen came out as gay.
Why you end with that one? Like it's not a big thing.
It's the most important thing. It's at the end.
Oh, so it's like when Dame Judi Dench is at the end of all the credits.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, says, and Dame Judi Dench.
And Ellen DeGeneres came out on gay on her TV show, which she'd been playing straight for 6 seasons. It was a big deal for all you kids out there. Okay?
Yes, it was.
So some facts about Fifth Element. The protagonist, which is Corbin Dallas, or the Bruce Willis character, and the antagonist, or Zorg, which is Gary Oldman character, never actually share any screen time together.
I love this movie.
I have this really ridiculous fact here. I'm going to let Madeline read this one.
Okay. Corbin's termination notice reads, in part, notice of termination of your contract effective as of today due to violation of codes HFGY56-74HVB00JGHY-MNH-35-65-85-MCNH-48-57-57-0478, and your engagement with this company finishes immediately for and on behalf of Zorg. So it turns out that Corbin Dallas worked for Zorg when he drove this taxi. Did you not notice that when you were watching the movie?
You know, it was not implied in the shock talk. I just thought this was an interesting
Okay. Though this would have been implied anyway, as in the previous scene, Zorg gave the order for 1 million of his workers to be fired.
Yeah.
I'm not reading that part.
Lilu's full name is Lilo Minyamai Lekarabada Lamana Takai Akabatisabat.
Oh my god, that is not how you pronounce that.
You know what? You try talking in a made-up language, and I will see if you can do any better.
All night long, all night.
If you look closely, when Ruby Rod sings All Night Long, Bruce Willis can be seen trying not to laugh. So they talked about Stargate because apparently, I guess, in Shocked and Applaud, they got confused between this movie and Stargate.
Okay, I don't get it.
I guess maybe it's because they both start in deserts, I guess.
They're like completely different. One is in space and one, they go through space, but it's not in space.
Yeah. Stargate was 1994, and it was the first movie to actually have a website. Wow, folks. We are that old that there is an actual movie that was first on the internet to have a website.
You're that old.
Digimon. Hansu's first film. Both Hansu, James Spader, and Kurt Russell, who are all in this movie, would go on to play villains in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There was a lot of talk on Shocked and Applaud about Luc Besson and his failings as a adulterer to stay married, I guess.
His inability to commit?
Well, his inability to not want to seduce Mila Jovovich when his wife was playing the blue lady who sings.
So you wrote this story, your wife is in the movie, and you are openly trying to seduce another actress. Okay, this is not an excuse, but I'm just saying he is French. That's like a whole thing.
He would later direct Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, based on movie. Science fiction comic series, Valerian and Laureline. It was written by Pierre Christine and illustrated by Jean-Claude Mezeres, both who sued Luc Besson earlier for stealing ideas, which he made into The Fifth Element. Okay, so this last one is pretty cool for those of you guys who are into anime. There are two volumes of manga series that are visible on Corbin Dallas's apartment bookshelf. He's reading Sanctuary by Ryoichi Ikigami and Adolf by Osamu Tezuka. I think I have Buddha by Tezuka on my shelf. Pretty good story there. Madeline's not a big manga or anime fan, so she's got nothing to add to this other than she really liked Kiki's Delivery Service and the Basset Hound in Howl's Moving Castle is cute.
Yeah, I'm not. That's just not my forte. Give me Lord of the Rings and dwarves and, you know,
okay,
dragons.
Darby O'Gill and the Little People was a Disney movie made in 1959 starring Sean Connery.
Okay, you're going to have to explain to me how that relates to this movie.
They mentioned it in the podcast. Everything in this podcast they mentioned. So they mentioned it some part about the special effects and about Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Okay.
Being like another movie that was technically advanced at the time.
Well, because that movie was fantastic.
Yeah, so I do have, Jen mentioned that they used most of the effects were done practically, like Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
So they simply placing the normal sized actors closer to the camera than the tiny ones and lined them up on the same horizontal plane.
Mm-hmm.
Forced perspective.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we need to correct Naomi.
I love
this
her.
Important part here.
But I have to say this, I'm a little hurt. I'm a little hurt and disappointed that she doesn't remember the name of our animals properly. Because Corbin Dallas is our cat. He's 4 years old. He was a birthday gift to me from our friend Drake. And he's kind of a jerk. But his full name is Corbin Dallas. And he goes by that name. Mm-hmm. And he is a fat little gray tabby. Tyrion is our dog. Because he is a corgi chihuahua mix, and we were watching Game of Thrones at the time, and you wanted to name him Tyrion because he is tiny.
That is what Naomi is thinking, is our dog Tyrion because he's tiny.
Yes, but Corbin Dallas is our cat. And Corbin Dallas the cat, I feel like he has the same level of aggression as Corbin Dallas the person.
I would say he's a little bit more aggressive than Corbin Dallas, the character.
Well, he's a little more, I mean, like he's, I think like maybe.
When your dad attacked him in D&D, I think your dad would pretty much agree that.
Okay, Corbin but you, Dallas is you were making a weird goblin noise and it freaked the cat out. And he,
I mean, I can't help it. Attacked, my goblin noise makes the cat go into attack mode.
Well, these are things that, you know, we need to make sure of before we. Do that
ladies
again.
And gentlemen, those of you listening to tangent. Our podcast, I would do the goblin noise right now. However, Corbin Dallas is in the room with us right now, And we have tried this multiple times, and my goblin voice does.
It really does set the cat off.
Make him go into kill mode. And yes. I really don't want to take Madeline to the hospital for another cat bite.
Okay, you make it sound like that's a frequent thing. It was one time. It was one time.
You get bit by a cat.
It was one time that you had to take me to the hospital.
Okay, how many times do you get clawed by a cat?
You said cat bite.
I did say cat
bite. And going to the hospital. And those two things combined only happened once.
All right.
Moving on. We're not here to talk about me or our cat.
So Naomi said she only knows one word in French, and it came from this commercial. The commercial is for a language learning set called Muzzy, a BBC-created foreign language education program that used animation to teach French, Spanish, Italian, and German. During the commercial, a green gorilla would say, Je suis un fille, or whatever, means I am a little girl.
I'm never taking you to France.
Please don't. I don't want to go.
Frère Jacques, dormez-vous. That's all I remember.
So it was a commercial. It would air in the late 1980s and early 90s. It was a TV commercial. And so that is a thing. I had no idea. I looked it up. The commercial's weird. So they did mention the president of the world. His name is the actor's name is Tiny Lister Jr. He is blind in the right eye. His most notable film role was the neighborhood bully Debo in the 1995 film Friday, or as Zeus in the 1989 movie No Holds Barred. He was the 1982 NCAA National Shot Put Champion. Before he tried acting, he was in the WWF and lost a SummerSlam Tag Team Championship in 1989. His teammate was Randy the Macho Man Savage.
Macho Man!
And they lost to the team of Hulk Hogan and a wrestler named Brutus Beefcake.
Well, of course he lost to Hulk Hogan. Nobody beats Hulk Hogan.
I don't know. Zeus and Randy Macho Man Savage? I gotta go with them.
No.
Over a guy named Brutus Beefcake? Yes.
No! In 1989, nobody beat the Hulk.
Okay, fine.
Wrestling is fake.
Some sad news, though. Tommy Tiny Lister passed away in December of last year due to complications of COVID-19, so...
And by last year, we mean 2020.
Please mask up. Save a life. You could save the president of the world's life if you masked up. You could have. So, I'm sorry. I'm sad now.
Take a minute. Okay.
So, Madeline is going to describe to you what I discovered about the brown, bloodish liquid that creeps down people's foreheads in the movie.
So, in the movie, whenever anybody is talking to
the
evilness, they get that goopy-looking, pussy blood thing. And so the blood that drips from both Zorg and the General's face has been identified by Luc Besson in a Reddit AMA from 2014. And he states, our entire body is full of impurities. The evil is able to concentrate them and to exit them through your skin, exactly like when you're sick and your impurities go out through your pimples. So basically, the bad guy is popping us individually, like we're pimples on the face of the planet. Ew.
So
would that be like the ultimate episode of Dr. Pimple Popper?
Oh my god, you're gonna make me sick. That's disgusting.
Sorry.
And on that note, we're not going anywhere, but I do have a disclaimer. The next conversational topic that we have is of a sensitive nature. If you're related to either Jen, Naomi, or Lydia and are listening to this as like their family members, please stop listening right now. They would not care for you to listen to us discuss the next subject, which is female sexual orgasms and ejaculation as described by science. In 2016, there was a published article in the Socioeffect Neuropsychol, which is a Swedish journal.
Socioeffect Neuropsychol.
Psychol, yeah. I think that's Swedish.
Cycle as in psychology.
Yes.
Not cycle as in bicycle.
It was a medical study done on the female orgasm. I'll let Madeline tell you the results.
Because he feels it's awkward.
No, I'm going to read the conclusion.
Contrary to expectations, women did not have orgasms that are more frequent by increasing their experience and practice of masturbation or by experimenting with different partners in their lifetime. The keys to their more frequent orgasms lay in mental and relationship factors. Well, I could have told them that. These factors and capacities include orgasm importance, sexual desire, sexual self-esteem, and openness of sexual communication with partners. Women valued their partner's orgasm more than their own. In addition, now I see, I wonder if that's built in, right? Because procreation, right? So
you can have babies without having an orgasm.
Yeah.
You can't have babies without the guy having an orgasm.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's built in. Anyway.
Maybe.
And the partner's good sexual technique. A relationship that felt good and worked well emotionally and where sex was approached openly and appreciatively promoted orgasms.
The conclusion of their study was that the findings indicate women differ greatly from one another in terms of their tendency and capacity to experience orgasms.
What? Women are different?
The improvements in gender equality and sexual education since the 1970s have not helped women to become more orgasmic. Neither has the major increase in masturbation habits among women in general. The challenge for future studies is to understand why women value their partner's orgasms more than their own. This relates to the movie and the fact that if you think Lilu could not orgasm because she was mentally unwell, she could not fully embrace that sexual energy until she found happiness through love. Or protection from Corbin. Once she got mentally stable, then she could feel the energy flowing through her and up and destroying the evil or turning it into a second moon.
I mean, I guess this is where my opinion is different, but I never saw it as a sexual release.
You know, neither did I till I listened to their podcast.
So yeah.
Thank you.
It was, to me, it was always either, it was like your soul and love. Like those are, one of those is the fifth element, however you want to look at it. And that is the, you know, that you have to have a connection for either your soul to be complete or for your, you know, to understand and to know love. And it doesn't have to be sexual love, but it just, you know, in because, you know, it's Hollywood and that's the most prominent part. But I mean, I never saw it as an orgasm. But I mean, the director's French and that's, you know, so I'm not saying that they're off base. I'm just saying I never looked at it that way. Maybe because I'm a Pollyanna and I don't think that everything has some sort of sexual undertones, but that's just me.
So I do have a last thing on female ejaculation. What is the difference between a squirting orgasm, female ejaculation, or sexual incontinence? There's the look I've been waiting for this whole podcast right there. Basically, all three involve fluid coming from the bladder during sex. Squirting is an expulsion of urine. Female ejaculation is a release of both urine and a substance from the Skene's glands, also known as the female prostate. Sexual incontinence, also called coital incontinence, is when someone loses control of their bladder during sex.
So for all of those people that are out there, and this, some might say this is kink shaming, but for all of those people that are out there that like those squirting videos and think, for all those young men that think, oh yeah, I'm going to make my girlfriend do that. She's f***ing on you, dude. So if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. But don't think that that is what makes you a excellent partner.
Hey, I would like to point out some of that is from the Skene's glands, which is the female prostate. So it's not all urine from the bladder.
No, you said that female ejaculation is a release of both urine and substance from the Skene's.
Oh, yeah,
but squirting is the expulsion of urine during an orgasm.
everybody either have sex in the bathtub or put like maybe like a plastic sheets on your bed, because that's difficult to clean up. Last but not least, we do have a new review on Apple Podcasts from APB Finance. On February 17th this year, they wrote, "Fantastic, a well-researched and exciting show." Thank you. I'll take that one. "The hosts do an incredible job and always bring something fresh. Highly recommend." Okay, that's them. Okay.
It's not all about you, honey.
So if you want to reach out to us, you can always email us at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com.
And by us, we mean Lydia and Jen and Naomi.
Right. You can also write a review, which allows other applauders to find our podcast, Shocked and Applaud Podcast. Most likely leave one on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts at. They also have a Patreon page where apparently they have a couple more Patreons this month.
Sweet!
So if you like what you hear and you'd like to hear more of it, especially me and Madeline talking uncomfortably about female sexual stuff.
Yes, this just made my whole Catholic introvert feel very awkward.
Yeah. So if you like that, please support Shocked and Applaud on Patreon. Hopefully you guys like this enough that we'll be able to come back for you for the next movie. And that was our cat Corbin jumping on Madeline's phone and bringing up her TikTok. I'm totally going to leave that in.
You probably can't even hear it. Okay.
So, from Sean
and Maddie,
we want to say thank you for listening and
thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Dankeschön.
Je suis la jeune fille. Je suis le garçon.
Yes, that's French they're speaking. And they've acquired their amazing new language skills from Muzzy, the remarkable video language program for children developed by the BBC, a world leader in language instruction, now available to you from Early Advantage. What a thrilling gift to give your children. A second language. And in today's competitive world, what a wonderful advantage in their school years and in all the years that follow. Studies prove that youngsters from preschool and up have the uncanny ability to grasp language far more quickly than we adults.